reading apparently is from Genesis 1, 24 to 31. God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that this was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the living creatures that move on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant in the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with its seed in it. They will be yours for food, and it will all and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it. I give every green plant for food," and it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day.
Yes, the second reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and the love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing amongst you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras. That's the one. Our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Actually, down at New Wine this summer, the Bible readings were given by a renowned Bible teacher, R.T. Kendall. And he used this little pulpit prayer, actually, after the reading. He prayed this: "May God be pleased to bless the reading and the preaching of this, his most holy and infallible word." And then he prayed a brief word of prayer. "Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Heavenly Father, may the blood of Jesus be sprinkled upon every person, every mind in this place. that their perception of what I say may be heard, received, and applied as you intend. Let our thinking be clear. Cleanse my tongue that I may be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said and nothing that doesn't need to be said. Enable me to preach this as though it were the first time. Help me to be very simple and very clear. May this word be life-changing, that literally every person here will never be the same again. And may it bring great honor and glory to your name. I thought that was such a good prayer. I thought I'm going to use that when I get home to Mark's Tay. So I hope you didn't mind that. Now, today we're starting a new theme for the autumn, a new series of sermons following Fruitfulness on the Frontline. This from the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity. And Andrew's got the book there. I've got the discussion guide. There's a DVD. There's little prayer cards. There's all sorts. Because I know that some of our home groups, many of our home groups, are going to be following this as well. And there's videos particularly. I'm so glad we were able to show that little video last week and this week, because it gives you a clue as to what it's all about. And it's focusing on the theme of fruitfulness, because fruit is mentioned in the Bible. And as you look through the course and through the scriptures, I was struck by just how many times God talks about fruit in the Bible. You might think perhaps of Galatians chapter 5, where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and so on. Or John 15, when Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Actually, we find fruit on the very first page of our Bibles. That was the reading that Tim kindly read from Genesis. And I don't know if you spotted it, but in verse 28 there, God blessed the man and the woman and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. And then later on, God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. So on the first pages in the Garden of Eden, God provides fruit and tells the animals to be fruitful and multiply, and tells the people, Adam and Eve, to be fruitful and multiply. And also on the last page in Revelation, the New Jerusalem has the tree of life in the center of it, bearing fruit for all the nations. So trees and fruit and being fruitful are on almost every page of Scripture. Maybe even as you were coming here today, you might have seen crops in the fields, you might have seen trees and bushes with fruit on them, and so on. At this time of year, fruit is everywhere, isn't it? Harvest time. So think for a moment, how might that apply to us? How might we be people who are fruitful for God? Because God's desire for fruitfulness is as extensive as the gospel, where in some ways we are created to be fruitful. That's what God said to the first human beings. And fruitfulness begins with God himself. It's part of his character. He's made a world that produces fruit abundantly, land with the capacity to produce plants and trees that bear fruit. And God blesses animals to be fruitful and multiply. And of course, he calls on us human beings, created in his image, to be fruitful and increase in number. And that means building families, of course. But it also means growing crops. It also means breeding animals, essentially cultivating the creation that God has given us. And I think it also includes some things that you perhaps might not think of immediately, like culture and civilization, building houses and creating, designing clothes, writing poetry, creating artwork, playing chess even. In other words, we're reflecting God's own creative hand as we do those things. And then as you read through Scripture, the promise of fruitfulness is repeated again and again. After the flood, for example, God says it again to Noah and his family to be fruitful and multiply. And then you remember Abraham told that he would be the father of many nations, more descendants than there were stars up in the sky. And at Sinai, Mount Sinai, where Moses is given the Ten Commandments, the promises that God would protect them are linked to being God's people, like a vine planted in the land. So many mentions of fruit in the Bible, because our Creator God loves making fruit. Psalm 1, I wonder if you know that psalm. Bearing fruit is an image of righteous living. Psalm 1 says, the righteous are like a tree planted by a stream that produces fruit. Just picture that for a moment, a little bit like the one up on the screen. The tree is well located, it's well planted, it's well watered by the stream going past. And because of that, it thrives, bearing fruit in season and doesn't wither when the dry times come. The psalm's saying that healthy plants grow and healthy people grow as well for God. But then, of course, things weren't always good in the Old Testament, were they? Sometimes it all went, I was going to say pear-shaped, it all went wrong, didn't it? And the prophets complain that Israel, as God's vine or God's vineyard, Israel seems unable to bear fruit for him. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 5, he says that God's chosen people who had been planted to bear fruit have produced only sour grapes. And yet, in spite of their fruitlessness, God remains committed, lovingly committed to his people. God is going to assume responsibility, caring for his vine, pruning it, watching over it, watering it, protecting it against enemies. And that's because he's got a big plan. He's got a large-scale plan for his vineyard. Nothing less than to fill all the world with fruit. That promise to Abraham coming true. Now, what was physically true and promised in the Old Testament often has a spiritual answer in the New Testament. So it's not surprising that Jesus uses images about fruit and fruitfulness, sowing and harvesting, fig trees and vineyards. He uses those images to describe the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Jesus is now taking up the role that God assigned to his people Israel. And union with Jesus in the vine, when we're grafted into the vine, when we are joined with Jesus, then we participate in that end time vision, bearing fruit for God's glory. Paul talks about fruit in his letters, writing to the Colossians that Harry read to us a moment ago. Paul writes that the gospel is bearing fruit and growing through the whole world, just as it's been doing among the Colossians. Paul prays that we'll be those who are bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. So ask yourself for a moment, are we actually doing that in our lives? How are you? How am I bearing fruit for God? Because Paul's saying that the gospel is creating a people who now fulfill that creation mandate, a people who are being remade in the image of the Creator. And Paul sees God's original design for humanity in Adam and Eve finally being fulfilled through the power of the gospel, bearing fruit in the lives of men and women like you and me. So as we pray and work to see fruit in the spread of the gospel, as we abide in the vine, bearing fruit to the glory of God, as we seek to walk in step with the Spirit who does his creation work in and through the church, as we do all of that, we are bearing fruit for God. I wonder, what could you do to bear even more fruit? On the DVD that the network groups are going to be watching, there's a lovely story about a chap called Peter. And Peter's a sort of everyman, and he moves house. He moves to a new town and a new place where he doesn't know anybody. And he prays to God, asking what he can do to serve God in this new place where he doesn't know anyone. And he feels in his prayers, he senses that God is saying to him, go and pick up the rubbish, go and pick up the litter, go round this new place pick up the dirty things. And so he goes and gets one of those council grabber tools, you know, and he starts picking up the litter. And the story goes on and talks about some of the encounters he has with people, some of the unexpected things that happen next, and the way that he's able to bear fruit for God, just in that simple action. This series, it's described as a series for disciples who want to make a difference where they are. And I think that's really helpful, because it's actually all too common for Christians to come to church on Sundays, to pray, to sing the songs and so on, and then to go home and live lives just like our neighbours next door, no different from the non-Christians around us. Think for a moment, apart from church on Sunday, how is your life different from your neighbours? How is my life different from our neighbours? Somebody said this week, if they were to have a look at your diary, could they tell that you were a Christian by the things that you do from day to day and week to week? It's slightly different for me and Wendy, because we've got dog collars on and people expect vicars to be odd, don't they? But they actually expect you to be just like them. Are you? Or are you actually showing God in your day-to-day life, at work, with friends and family, out shopping, whatever it may be? So it's very easy to live our lives in the same way as everyone else and to miss some of those opportunities to be Christians in the world, to show God to others, to be kingdom people, to be followers of Jesus. So as we go through this series in the autumn, we're going to begin to realise, I think, all those little moments in day-to-day life when we could be different, when we could bring a transforming presence to those around us, to bring a little bit of God in the place where we are. Somebody once said we should almost be like flowers, bloom where you're planted. God has put you in your place, in your location, with your friends and contacts, with your neighbours, with your family, with your colleagues and so on. Bloom where you're planted. Now, next time we look at these subjects, it'll actually be 3 weeks' time because of harvest and so on. Next time we're going to be looking at the first way that we can be fruitful. And there's actually going to be six of them. They call them the six M's, letter M, because they each begin with that letter. So the first one's going to be modelling good character, modelling godly character. So I actually think this sermon series is going to be really helpful for us as a church, because it'll help us to bring much more of God's kingdom into our day-to-day lives. So please engage with it as much as possible. Learn about it in your network groups. Watch the videos. And think how you could be more fruitful. Fruitfulness on the front lines.